Mark chapter 10, verse 13. They brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in." Now, I'll be honest with you, this is not our text. But I couldn't resist reading it ahead of time because we're getting right into it. Isn't it great to know that Jesus loves the little children? And I appreciate how it goes along with our current campaign for the pregnancy center. But he loves children. And I appreciate our Sunday school teachers, all those that work with their young people, all those that bring young people. Because we need to reach them now. And it goes on and it talks about how Jesus blessed the children. Look at what it says in verse 16. He took them up in his arms. He put his hands on them and he blessed them. When I say the prayers with the children at bedtime, I put my hand on their head to pray with them. And that is the significance that Jesus shows here as he prayed for those children. He blessed them. I don't know about you, but I know that every time, particularly when we have the Lighthouse girls here, and I've been coaching out there for I don't even know how many years now, a long time, and I see them come through the program, and I see sometimes what happens beyond the program. And I know that when they come in, a lot of times they're exposed to the gospel, and they're exposed to Christian love, and Christian music and Christian teaching and that flooding or that baptizing, if you will, of Christianity and godliness. They are drawn to God. And I'm not aware of any who have gone through the Lighthouse program, the year program, and not gotten saved during that year. I'm not aware of any of them. And yet, when they get out of that program, sometimes they don't stay on that path. And it's no fault of the program. It's no fault of Brother Billy and the crew out there. I've seen people come through this church, through those Sunday school rooms, with these teachers, sit in those pews, and they get on the straight and narrow, and they get the Christianity, and they get the teaching. And yet somehow they go through this, and then they're gone. And I mean, I've got cards where people, when you come and visit, you fill out a visitor's card. I keep those cards. And I have those cards, and so it has a date when you first started coming to church here, and I'm able to see how long you've been. But I'm able to look at the names and say, where are they now? Now, a lot of times they visited, and maybe they didn't come back, or they were here for a while and they moved off. We've got several who've moved away to other states and live in other areas. But I see when Jesus blessed the children, and I imagine what was going through his heart as he looked at that child and he knew the challenges they faced. He knew what was ahead and how he blessed them. And I wonder what those children who Jesus touched and prayed for and blessed before the Father, I wonder what happened to their lives. Wouldn't that be interesting to know? As these children that were in that audience that day, I wonder how they turned out. I wonder what happened in their lives. Guys, you may have seen something this week that I saw, and it said the church has... Well, think about it. If they come to church just for Sunday school and Sunday morning, 100 hours a year is all the church gets. And you're with them the rest of the time. We have got to teach our children at home. We've got to show them the way. We've got to be good examples to them. We've got to show them the Word. They need Jesus. And if if this 2 hours is all the Jesus they get, I'm glad they got some. But they need more. They need to be flooded. They need to hear the Word of God at home. They need to see you reading your Bible. They need to see you praying, hear you praying. They need to hear their name come off your lips in prayer. And even if it's your grandchildren or whatever, you have an opportunity, pray for them. Let them hear you pray for them. He put his hands on them and he blessed them. And then, after that, somebody came running up to Jesus. How many of you ran to Jesus when you got saved? You said, I need Jesus today. I can't wait. It won't wait. I got to go now. I got to get saved. I got to pray right now. He ran. He had an eagerness. He had enthusiasm. And so we see this urgency in this young man's heart in verse number 17. When Jesus was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. So the humility, the surrender, the sincerity. And he asked Jesus, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He had one thing in mind, and that was, how can I go to heaven? How can I live forever spiritually? How can I live forever with God? Eternal life. How many of you know how to get eternal life? Go ahead and raise your hand. You know how to get it? You know how to get saved? If you know, then you could answer this young man's question, right? How can I get eternal life? And Jesus keyed in on one thing he said, and he said, what is it you see in me that makes you call me good? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. What is it you've seen in me that makes you think I know? Boy, that's a great question. What is it they see in you at work and at home and at play that makes them think you know how to be saved? Do they see it? Is there any indication in your life that you're going to heaven? Do people that know you, that run with you, that play and work, do they have any indication that you're going to heaven? More so than anybody else? What is it you see in me? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? What is it you've seen? Thou knowest, verse 19, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. So he lays out the law, the commandments. Now, how many of us, at some point in the Ten Commandments, just said, okay, I'm guilty. I'm not asking you to tell me which one. I'm just saying, somewhere in there, I'm guilty. He said, look at what he says in verse 20. Master, all these have I observed up from my youth. Wow. From my youth, I've observed them all. And you know what I believe? I believe he was sincere as he could be. I believe he really meant that. I don't know how many of you grew up in a home like I grew up in, but you didn't. There wasn't a whole lot of room to make big mistakes. They corrected the little things. How many of you got in trouble for rolling your eyes when you were growing up? I'll knock them all the way in the back of your head. Roll them again. Hey, when they say roll them again, don't roll them again. Bad idea. Repeat what you just said. Do not repeat what you just said. Do it one more time. Do not do it one more time. Do not. I grew up in that house. I didn't have room to make big mistakes. I didn't have room to make little mistakes. But I'll tell you something. What I'm trying to say to you is, if you grew up in a Christian home where you went to church and you prayed and you read the Bible and there was love and, you know, and there was discipline. Don't get me wrong. When I say love, I don't mean there was an absence of conflict. But we grew up with lines, with boundaries. And kids need boundaries. And adults need boundaries too. Yeah. Need to know where the lines are. This young man said, I've observed all of that. I have kept the law. I have kept the rules. And he meant it. He meant it when he said it. And I believe in his sincerity and his confidence. Because if he was lying, Jesus wouldn't have known it. And Jesus says to him, one thing thou lackest. Verse 21. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Now, don't choke on that verse. Here's what Jesus said to that man. He said, there's one thing you're missing. Absolve yourself of all your obligations, of anything that would keep you here instead of going with me. That's what he's saying. He's not saying you have to be broke. He's not saying you have to be poor. And by the way, you notice he says sell it all. He didn't say bring it here and put it in the coffers of the ministry. He didn't say that. He said give that money away to other people. But what he's saying is to just divest yourself of all your obligations. Anything that will keep you from leaving here today and going with me. That was his point. Did you read the rest of it? Are you familiar with what happened after that? And I want you to look at verse 21 and see a phrase in there that we skipped over. And that is this. The Bible says, and Jesus looked upon him, beheld him, and he loved him. When Jesus looked at this young man, he saw his eagerness, his enthusiasm. He saw his humility. He saw his sincerity. And Jesus looked at him and said, you would make a great addition to our church. I would love to have you join our ministry. He loved him. He loved him, and he thought, and he said, you got one more thing to do. Follow me. One thing thou lackest, follow me. In order to follow me, you need to get rid of some stuff that's holding you down, holding you back. But the one thing was to follow me. That was the one thing. He said, you got religion, you got the law, but you need a Savior. You've got religion, you got the rules figured out, you've got the discipline down, but you still need to have your soul cleansed through the blood of the Savior. Guys, religion is not going to get you to heaven. Obeying the law is not going to get you to heaven. Absolving yourself of all your responsibility, divesting yourself of all your obligations and all of your wealth, it's not going to get you to heaven. One thing, follow Jesus. One thing. We need Jesus as Savior. That's the one thing. Jesus loved him for his desire to know, to learn, his hunger for eternal life. When people come through those doors, they don't always come through wanting to get saved. Some of them don't know what it is to get saved. They don't always come through wanting eternal life. They just come to church. Why? Because somebody invited them. Why? Because it's Sunday. Why not? They didn't know when they came in those doors that they were going to be introduced to a Savior and introduced to an idea of living forever spiritually, going to heaven. They didn't know that. But hopefully every time they come in here, they'll hear that. How to be born again, how to get saved, how to go to heaven. However you want to say it, how to have eternal life, how to obtain eternal life. That's what the man wanted. But he was hanging on too tightly to the material life to find eternal life. He was too wrapped up in this life to grasp hold of that life. Jesus made him an offer that would change his life. Yeah, because I have to get rid of my boat. Yeah, because I have to sell all my cars and sell my house and sell my business. I have to clean out my bank account and give it away to the poor. I have to get rid of everything. Yeah, it would change his life.
It would show them what's important in life. I'm not against stuff, and God's not against stuff. That's not the point. The point is, does that stuff mean more to us than God does? Does stuff matter more than our faith? Jesus gave him the opportunity. He gave him instruction to get rid of everything that was holding him back, everything that obligated him, so he could go with him. That's the only reason. That's the only. You say, well, Pastor, I got a lot of stuff. Do I need to get rid of it? I mean, not unless you need to go in the mission field somewhere. Obviously, if you're going to move and be a missionary, let's say in Zimbabwe, why not? You don't need to have a house here and a boat here and a car here and all that kind of stuff. You don't need to have all the stuff here if you're going to go over there. That's why he said that. Now, if you're going to stay here, keep your stuff. It's not the point. The point is our stuff keeping us from following him? Is our stuff keeping us from faith? And he was sad, verse 22, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Man, he had great stuff. How many of you have great stuff? Y'all have great stuff. Come on, tell the truth. Why are y'all ashamed of your stuff? It's great stuff. And he was sad because he didn't want to give that up. Why would he have to give it up? Because Jesus wanted him to travel with him. He wanted him to be part of the traveling group, the traveling team. I mean, he could be a Christian at home and keep all of his stuff. He didn't have to get rid of any of his stuff to stay home. But if he wanted to go all in and go with Jesus, he had to get rid of all of it. And it grieved him. He didn't want the great life because he had great stuff. But what we learn here is that stuff was an anchor. That stuff was a coffin. That stuff was a trap, a prison. He came wanting eternal life. And Jesus said, not only will I show you how to have eternal life, you can become part of the group that tells the whole world how to get it, if you'll leave everything else behind. But he wasn't willing to go that far. Look at verse 23. And Jesus looked around about, and he said unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. Jesus answered them again and said, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you ever sat around and tried to figure out how to get a camel through the eye of a needle? What did you figure out? It's impossible. Now, when we talk about an eye of a needle being a pedestrian gate to enter into a city that's walled off, and if you're going to get that camel through that gate, you're going to have to do something. Camel's carrying all that load. Well, when he gets to that gate, he can't get in unless you take all the stuff off of him. Because the only thing that's going to fit through that pedestrian gate is the camel himself. And what Jesus is saying is that when we're holding on to all of our stuff, we can't let go, we can't get in. What matters to us? Eternal life or material life? Verse 26, it says again, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Who can be saved if it's so hard? At what point? What is it that makes us rich? Well, but at what point are we rich? Because I might look at you and say, well, you're more well off than I am. You make more money than I do. You have more stuff than I do, so you're rich. But you'll say, oh, I'm not rich. That guy over there, he's rich. I'm not rich. So what is the point? What is the standard? That's the question they were asking. Who then can make it in? Because, you know, it's like getting taxed. You can earn a certain amount of money, and the government doesn't take any of it. But then you get to that one point and they say, oh, we're going to start taking money from you now. And then you reach another level and you start watching and you say, well, if I make any more, then I'll go into the next tax bracket and they'll take even more than that. And if I can reach the next tax bracket, whoa, they really take a lot of it. And so you got to start watching your money, right? Y'all are familiar with that, aren't you? You say, well, if I get to that, and it's only a dollar, right? Only a dollar makes a difference. Like boiling point. What is boiling point of water? 212 degrees. What is 211? It's hot. But it's not boiling point. And so they're saying, so what's the level, Jesus? How much money can I have and still get to heaven? They missed it. See, it's not a test of how much money you got or how big your house is or how many cars or boats or toys. That's not the point. The point is, are you hanging on to that so tightly that you can't follow God? And I'm afraid that there are too many who are holding on too tightly to their stuff and they don't have faith. Because those things have become their gods. This man left. Do you ever read where this guy came back? I haven't seen it. Where he said, Lord, I thought about it, and you know I didn't really need all that stuff anyway. It was just holding me down. It just gave me something to do. But you're going to give me something to do. You're going to give me a new life. So why do I need all that stuff? I never read that. He just went away weeping. Grieved. Jesus says, in verse 27, looking on them, he said, with men it is impossible, but with God, not with God, for with God all things are possible. God can change anybody's heart. You say, well, I want to reach them, but they're too educated to get saved. No, they're not. With God, all things are possible. They're too rich to get saved. No, with God, all things are possible. They're too sinful to get saved. No, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Then Peter, of course, we got to have Peter, right? He's got to step up. He says, Lord, we left all to follow you. We left all of it behind. We did exactly what you told that guy to do. And Jesus says, understand something. Nobody has given up anything to serve me that they don't get multiplied back in their lives. How many of you have ever tried to outgive God? You cannot outgive God. You cannot do it. It's incredible. But you cannot do it. You cannot outgive God. Because He always pays it back and multiplies it. Now, this message is not about offerings. This message is not about being too rich. If you got convicted this morning because you're too rich, well, hallelujah. And that's great, isn't it? I'd love to go to church one day and find out I was too rich. The message is this. We've got to reach out to God. And if we're reaching out to God and He gives us the answer, don't let anything stand in the way. You say, well, I want to get saved, but I want my husband to get saved. That's standing in the way. You get saved first, then maybe your husband will follow, or your wife will follow, or your parents will follow, your kids will follow. Get saved now. Don't wait. From your heart to God's heart right now, say, God, I want eternal life. I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. I believe that you offer a better life than what I've got. Hey, I'm not saying your life's bad. This guy didn't come to Jesus because his life was bad. He came to Jesus because he wanted eternal life. Not because he was on Skid Row. Not because he was in the gutter. Not because he had hit rock bottom. He was living large. But he knew there was something else beyond this life. And he said, how do I get it? And then it turned out, according to what we know,
that while Jesus gave him the opportunity to go full into ministry, he decided he liked this life better. Guys, I'm telling you, what God can do with your life is far greater than what you can do with your life. But you've got to surrender and let God show you the way. Let's stand. Our Father, we love you so much, and we're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house this morning and to open your word and to see these truths. God, the truth about the children, the truth about innocence in our faith and sincerity and trust. As you said, nobody can get to the kingdom of God if they don't have trust like a little child. So God, give us that kind of trust, that kind of faith this morning, where we totally surrender all to you. God, this morning, God, we lay everything at your altar. If there's anything in our lives that you don't want there, we want you to take it away. And only let us leave this morning with what you want in our lives. God, that we'll not be holding on too tightly to the stuff. God, we're thankful. You've blessed us. You've given us a great country. You've given us great lives. We're blessed beyond measure. And yet we don't want that to become a stumbling block for our faith or an anchor that drags us down from doing your work. So God, do great things in us this morning. Reach each of us with your personal message. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come to the altar, it's open. This is your opportunity. If you've got a burden or a need, this is your opportunity. Pray where you are, I'll pray with you. But this is your opportunity. The song that's being played says, I've wasted precious years, but now I'm coming home. You ready to go to the Lord in prayer from your heart to His heart and surrender all? You say, my life's pretty good. So is this young man. As he ran to Jesus and said, I want to know how to get eternal life. That's the point. How to be saved. And Jesus said, follow me. Oh, what an opportunity to follow Jesus. And that's what we have this morning. Are you ready to follow Jesus? Appreciate your attendance, your attention this morning. Let me say thank you for recognizing our 16th anniversary here. And I love y'all. This is really, I mean, y'all, I know there's different ways that Paul said he told one, you're my crown of joy. And I have to say, you really are my inspiration and my motivation. I thank you for your faithfulness. I appreciate how you pray for one another. Messages, phone calls that I have through the week of you praying for each other and checking on each other. I want you to know something. Your church loves you. Your church loves you. They check on you. And it's a joy for me to be able to interact and communicate. Is there anything before we're dismissed? Ladies meeting? Okay, and it's in the bulletin. Any others? Amen. Good to have Sister Kinsey with us this morning. Let's pray for Brother Kinsey as he's in rehab. And And some of you know, but the difficult thing about that is you can't get in to visit him for 2 weeks. She can't even see him. And I know that's what they were trying to avoid. But pray for Brother Kenzie as he recovers. And Sister Betty also. Others. Everybody paid up, prayed up, and ready to go up? All right, get on the bus. Let's wait a second. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bill Sanders, dismiss us, please.